This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yes, we are a mere hour away to tip off with the Knicks and the Hawks in Game 2, and here's why the Knicks win tonight. 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. A sneeze right out of the gate, but it doesn't matter. Let's go get on board, because for the next half hour, we've got as many of your calls as we can get in. So get on board right now. Also, you can tweet the show. By all means, do so at Chris Carlin over on Twitter and That Guy Carlin on Instagram. Pretty simple to me, and I know a lot of people have looked at the Knicks from Game 1 and it felt like, well, they were right there. And if Julius Randle plays just a little bit better, we're going to be fine. You can't look at it quite that simply, okay? You can't always focus on how you got to a certain point and just assume if you do something a little bit better, you're going to get over the hump. That's what happened in Game 1. People are saying, well, we had that opportunity to win the game. We were right there. Well, you were right there because you had a lot of different things happen. You had Alec Burks step up and score 18 points in a quarter. Did you expect that to happen? You did not. You had an improved defense in the fourth quarter, although still lacking in some real tough spots, including on the last possession of the game. You had other guys who were making some big shots, even Randle hitting one at one point, even Barrett hitting one at one point, when you really needed them, even though they didn't play great. What you need to focus on is the overall better effort of the group. And I know that sounds a little bit obvious, right? It is, but it isn't. Because the defense, for the most part the other night, even though the points were down, we know it wasn't what it needs to be. It just wasn't. That was a group that looked like they had not seen a pick and roll in their entire life when they're going up against Trae Young. They let Trae Young get into the lane entirely too much. We detailed last night, 14 shots in the lane for Trae Young, 14 shots in the lane. He made 9 of them. Can't happen. Only took 2 threes, or only took 3 threes and made 1 of them. Can't happen. It's pretty simple when it comes to Trae Young and when it comes to the Knicks. This is a collective effort. They have other players who can burn you. Bojan Bogdanovic can burn you. Clint Capella can make plays and burn you. DeAndre Hunter can burn you. John Collins can play. It's not just about Trae Young. But when it is the best player on the court for both teams, you have to make sure that he's not the one that's going to beat you. And if he is, he can't do it in an easy fashion as he did the other day. That's what it was, an easy fashion. He enjoyed his time getting into the lane easily, and we saw Frank Ntilikina come into the game, and we saw his eyes light up as he just simply dropped back and then turned on the Jets and blew right past him. Swatted him away like he was a piece of lint off of his sweater. That's what we saw. Tonight, the only way to make this difficult is to not let him in the lane that much and to force him to take those deep threes. Yeah, he can hit some of them. But guess what? You heard Allen give the stat just a little while ago. 31% from three since March 1st. 34 for the season overall. This is not an all-time great shooter right now. It's just not. It's somebody who's emerging as a great player in the league, but when you make things easier for him, he's going to smoke you. That's what happened the other day. This is not about beating the daylights out of him. This is not Charles Oakley back in the day, because you don't get away with that anymore. You can't clothesline him coming into the lane. What you can do is be a little bit more physical, but make sure to not put yourself in a situation where you're putting him on the line. The defense overall just has to be much better. And it's been the calling card of this team. And frankly, it was disappointing what we saw the other night. On the flip side, yeah, you do need Julius Randle to be better. Whether it was just being overly hyped, whether it was being out of gas in the fourth quarter because before the game he was just so juiced and early in the first quarter, just so juiced that he was out of energy late because he looked like he was walking in quicksand in the fourth quarter of that game. Whether it was not adjusting to all the different looks that the Hawks were giving him and knowing that all of that attention was coming your way and taking bad shots, whatever it is, it has to be better. Julius Randle has to be in the 25-point range tonight. He has to be more efficient than he was the other night. He has to give them a true threat to where they're not relying on somebody in an ancillary role to be the guy to come through. You don't want to be in the spot tonight where you need Alec Burks to do what he did the other day. You want to see him be able to have opportunities and cash them in because RJ Barrett's playing better, because Julius Randle's playing better, because they're hitting more shots, because they're not combining to go shoot as poorly as they did from behind the arc. What was Barrett 1-for-7 from behind the arc? It just can't happen. It truly cannot happen. So this formula is not overly complicated, and truly it is one that can get the Knicks over the hump pretty quickly. Make Trae Young beat you from the outside as much as is humanly possible. Not going to be able to do it all the time. Not going to be able to get the ball out of his hands all the time. But you can certainly make it more difficult than you did the other night. You can certainly do a much better job defending the pick and roll than you did the other night, because that was abominable, to say the least. And you can certainly find a way for your star to calm himself down and to be ready to go and ready to spread out, to really use all of that energy throughout the course of the game and save some for late. Calls, let's go. 800-919-3776. Jack in Scotch Plains is going to start us off tonight. Jack, what's going on?
How are you? Long time no speak.
Good to be with you, brother. Thanks for checking in. What do you got for me?
Hey, you know, I just want to, you know, you were saying about the primary focus for Knicks fans. I mean, I'm a Nets fan, but for the Knicks fans, I want them to enjoy this team and enjoy what this team has done this year. As a Nets fan, I enjoyed the scrappiness that the Nets were in getting to where they were, and then they were a nice draw for Kyrie and KD. But when those guys came, the guys that I was rooting for, like the Caris LeVerts and the Jared Allens, they're gone. They're gone. You know, Knicks fans, watch this team. Enjoy this team because, you know, it could be drastically different down the road.
It will be drastically different down the road when they are ready to go and try to win championships. It's not going to look like this. Where your best point here is, Jack, and thanks for the call, is that in the moment, you actually have a game tonight that you're nervous about, that all of the juices are flowing for, that you're getting the butterflies in your stomach about a playoff game. Like, that's the greatness of it. That's where you really just give this everything you've got energy-wise, and you haven't been able to do that in 8 years. It's so impressive to be in that spot with the roster that you have this year. It's been amazing to watch. So, yes, enjoy this team, enjoy this moment, but also, you're in this moment, go win it. Joe in Staten Island is next. 98.7 ESPN. Joe, what do you got for me, bud?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. So I'd say I agree with you about the Knicks on the perimeter tonight. I think the key, it's going to be a perimeter game. I think we got to force Trae on the perimeter. And the Knicks, I think we had the top three perimeter defense in terms of opponent field goal percentage from the three ball. So I think we got to defend the three, and we definitely need to shoot the three better tonight. I think those are the keys to the game. And I think if we do that, there's no reason why we can't take game two.
Oh, I would totally agree with all of that. And you were one of the best three-point shooting teams in the league this year because of Julius Randle going from 27% to 40%. You know, he is...
And he creates for others.
Say that again.
And he creates for others. So we got to make the three off that pass.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. And look, you're 100% right. You know, the Knicks held their opposition to 33% from behind the arc. It was best in the league. Best in the league. And they shot 39% for the season. That's as impressive as can be. I mean, that's top two and three in the league. So, yes, those two parts of their game have to be much, much better. It's not like the Hawks on Sunday were absolutely destroying you from behind the arc. They were not doing that. 12 for 34 shouldn't kill you. The problem is the Knicks shot 10 for 30. Chris in Manhattan is next, 98.7 ESPN. Hello, Christopher.
How you doing, Chris? Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to get to number one. Anytime you have a great offensive player, you have to make Trae Young play defense. So what I was saying to the producer is, who are your two best offensive players on the Knicks? I'm trying to get, and this is the same thing that Steph Curry faced, okay? Same thing that James Harden faced playing with the Rockets, making them play defense for four quarters. So I'm trying to get Trae Young in as many screen and rolls, okay, with Julius Randle's man, possibly R.J. Barrett's man, and try and get that switch and that mismatch, and you've got to make him play defense. Conversely, that high screen and roll is absolutely killing the Knicks, okay? So, Chris, if you're playing Trae Young and I have the screener's man, the first thing that I'm going to have to do, and I think most of the time that screen is he's going to his right. Either way, I got to call the screen. And, Chris, I can't be 15 feet behind my man. I either have to show and bring him back to you. Mm-hmm. We either have to call a double and double hard and then sprint out of traps. But you can't give him everything. You can't give him, I come off the screen and I got to open three. I come off the screen, and since whoever the big man is 15 feet away from me, now I've got that little runner. Then I also have the lob. You're giving him everything on that. So you're going to have to take two of those three away. But
look, the bottom line on it is they've been much better throughout the course of the year at defending it. And the other day they looked lost mm-hmm. with it. And that has to go away. Like they cannot make it easy on either end for the lob or for the runner. And thanks to the call, they can't do it. And the other day it absolutely was just that easy for them. Just that easy. As far as going at Trae Young, it's easier said than done in situations like this. It really is. You would love to do that, and you're going to try to tire him out as much as you can. This is not a guy that tires easily. It's not a guy that tires easily. And remember, they're able to get him time off and can play somebody else for 10, 12 minutes because of Lou Williams. Don't forget what Lou Williams did the other day when Trae Young's not on the floor. Lou Williams put up 13 points in 12, 13 minutes. That's more than steadying the ship. That's somebody that can come in and get the job done and keep things right where they're at. That's Lou Williams' job off the bench, and that's what he relishes. Now, in case you haven't heard, yes, it's frustrating. I know Elfrid Payton is going to start tonight. Here's Tom Thibodeau on that decision.
We looked at the game. We look at what's going on. You know, it's a two-point game, and it comes down to a loose ball. So just get out there, get the job done, you know, play defense, run the team. We're going to use everyone.
I don't even know what any of that means. It really was not an explanation of any sort, but that's what he said when he was asked about it. Guys, it's not the biggest problem. Just remember that. Everything else is the bigger problem. 8 minutes for Elfrid Payton is not the biggest problem. Maybe that'll be cut down to six tonight. Maybe we'll incrementally get there. Next, the true X factor in this game tonight. Game two. Pre-game, top of the hour. Pat O'Keefe, ready to go. Eddie, Brendan Brown, ready to call it. Going to be good. Carlin, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776. Here's Tom Thibodeau on what he wants in the officiating.
My thing is I just want consistency. I really don't care how the game's called. Could be called tight, could be called loose, be consistent. And if that happens, you know, there's a ton of plays that can go either way. It's a tough job, but it seemed like it was different in the fourth. And, you know, you don't want to see that.
Listen, I don't think it was all that different in the fourth quarter the other day, but you did not see Trae Young get to the free throw line at all prior to the fourth quarter. So make of that what you will. You know he's going to do everything he can to get fouls. So you just have to do the best you can with it. He's going to get to the line. You just can't get absolutely buried by it. Let's go to Freddie in Brooklyn next, 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Freddie, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Great.
All right. So my only take is that I've been listening and engaged in this conversation for the past 2 days and listening to all takes. I can't help but think, yeah, this is basketball. These things happen, and, like, never has the theme of winning solves everything just rang more true because I think even, like, characterizing Julius Randle's game, it's like, yeah, what, you know, superstar hasn't had, you know, a bad game. Even the greatest, like,
yeah, but this was his first playoff game, so you give him a little bit more of a pass, but it still bothers you because, A, he's not a superstar yet, he's a star, and B, he is everything that the Knicks need. He is their one centerpiece.
Correct. But I also another theme that comes up is just how people are not really giving the Hawks, I think, the credit that they deserve. I mean, they could have easily been the four seed in this situation. And I think, you know, Trae Young as a superstar is further along than anyone that we have. So I think I've been listening to it, and it just sounds kind of like overly critical. I think, you know, we let them play today and we can make better assessments. But for now, it just seems like, you know, these things happen. So you have to give them a little bit more room.
Yeah, listen, I get that. Thanks for the call. I get that. But, you know, Trae Young is somebody that is going to do his damage, and it's not a situation where you just let him go and do whatever he's going to do and worry about everybody else. I just need to make it as hard for him as I can, and the biggest thing that I can do to do that is to make him shoot it from the outside. You know, he's going to be a great three-point shooter one day, but he's not there yet. So I have to take advantage of that. And speaking of which, the true X factor tonight for the Knicks has got to be Reggie Bullock. We cannot have a game from Reggie Bullock where he is a minus 14 on the floor and he's 0 for 5 from behind the arc. Can't happen. He is somebody that they have relied upon all year to be a consistent shooter. And he has been that. It's been impressive what he's been able to do this year. This is somebody that shot 41% from three. And that's going to be something that they're going to be relying heavily upon tonight. And let's call it what it was. In game one, Reggie Bullock was a no-show. A complete no-show. Anthony in the Bronx is next. 98.7 ESPN. Tony, what's up, bud?
Chris, we got a couple problems as a Knicks fan, from what I see. The biggest one being, Atlanta has two professional scorers of the ball. Trae Young, Lou Williams. You know how many the Knicks have, Chris? They have none.
Yeah.
That's a major problem in today's NBA. Trae Young is going to get you on his hip, and he's a herky-jerky kid. He's going to stop on the drop of a dime, and it's going to be a foul, two shots, or an and-one. The Knicks have nobody that could do those type of things. And that's the biggest problem the Knicks are running into in this series, is they're going against two professional scorers of the ball. One starts, one comes off the bench. The Knicks have none of them.
The only problem is I disagree in that Randle has been a scorer this year. He has been a scorer. You need to at least acknowledge that. And while I understand what you're saying about Young and Lou Williams, like, that's all they do. This is exactly why they were put in the NBA, in this game, given this talent by God from above to score baskets. This is not necessarily what Randall's been his whole career, but he's been that this year, and he's the biggest reason why they are here in this spot.
Chris, do you remember years ago the Seattle Mariners had a guy named Edgar Martinez?
Sure.
They used to call him what? A professional hitter. He yep. did nothing but hit. Lou Williams does nothing but score.
Oh, you're right. Listen, I'm not going to argue that. And I think the fact that they have Lou Williams off that bench, and thanks for the call, when he comes in to spell Trae Young, man, that's a huge advantage. Because there's not a lot of fall off, and they're able to do just that, play him 14 minutes and get double digits points from him. I mean, there's not many guys that are that capable of lighting it up very quickly. Lou Williams is that guy. He finds his way to score. He finds his way to score. Knicks win tonight by 5. R.J. Barrett has a much better game. Reggie Bullock has a much better game. And most importantly, Julius Randle has a much better game. Carlin out.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.